Terry Piesel, WSAU Radio. I'm going to be visiting today with Vicki Schnitzler. She's going to tell us about QR codes, a new high-tech link to the past being used in downtown Marshfield. Well, can you start by telling me what QR codes are and what you believe the purpose is, what you'd like to accomplish with them?
Well, a QR code stands for Quick Response Code. It was developed in Japan by the Toyota automotive industry as a way of marking automotive parts when they were assembling automobiles. And each automobile would have a specific code, and that way they made sure that the parts got to the right vehicle that they were putting together. What we are trying to do here and how we are using the QR codes is we are trying to document the history of the businesses downtown. In other words, we're recording the history of Marshfield businesses, the buildings, and any other historical significant landmarks, and then make them digitally accessible to the public.
Okay, real good. Can you tell me how the public would access some of this information if they're going through downtown Marshfield?
Well, traditionally with a QR code, you would use a smartphone and you would download a QR code reader program from your app store on your phone. And then once you have the reader program on your phone, you could go to any of the storefronts that have a certificate of significant historic value and just scan the QR code in, which is on their certificate. And the ones that you'll see downtown are specific for that business or for that current business. So, for example, if you would go to DiRico's Black Belt School, you'd see a certificate that has a picture from one of the historic buildings that previously was on that site. You would also see a few little bulleted things about that business, you know, why it's significant, and then the QR code itself would be there that you could scan in with your phone. When you scan that, that would bring up DiRico's Black Belt School story. The next thing significant that we're working on then, not only would you bring up that story, but at the end of the story are going to be additional links to other stories that are either are already finished or that will be coming of previous businesses that were at that location.
Can you tell me how many businesses you have participating in the program? And apparently you've got some more to come.
Well, right now I have about 30 businesses on board. I am going to be at a Main Street function coming up this next week, and I hope to get some more on board. When I started the program, I just targeted the first three blocks of South Central Avenue. We celebrated the 125th anniversary this summer of the Great Marshfield Fire, which really destroyed the entire downtown district of Marshfield. And in that was those first three blocks. So anything that had been in those blocks prior to 1887 was completely destroyed. So in some cases, we have information. I have a plat map that I found that was in a newspaper from 1885, which was pre-fire period. So we know some of the businesses that were there in 1885. A few of them may have changed by 1887, but we have a pretty good idea of what was there. And then by scanning newspapers and looking at pictures that I have found from the Historical Society at the Upham Mansion, we can pretty well document a majority of the businesses that were in the downtown area at different times. Not all of the stories that I have right now are from the downtown district. I have a couple home stories. I'm currently working on the Upham Mansion story, of course, with Governor Upham. And there are a couple other people that have volunteered their home stories, and I will be putting those on as well. When I was at the fair this fall in September, I spoke with one of the individuals from the experimental station, the egg station, and they just are celebrating their 100th anniversary this year and have done a booklet. And I was lucky enough to obtain a digital copy of that I can create a code for them and just download their booklet as their QR code. So if individuals don't have the booklet already, they'll be able to access that information coming fairly soon on the website.
Are there any stories that really pop out at you? Are there any stories that are really interesting you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I think one of the, you know, one of the stories that, or a combination of stories that I talk about a lot in my, when I'm out talking with the public and explaining what the project is exactly showing them how the project works. For example, I mentioned DiRico's Black Belt School and the other stories that are listed there. If you go back to the late 1870s, if we'll take our time machine and travel backwards, Governor Upham actually had his manufacturing store listed at the 200 South Central location. And he had remodeled that in 1880. And then, of course, with the fire coming in 1887, and the fathers of the city said, you know, when you rebuild after the fire, anything, you know, along the Central Avenue had to be rebuilt in brick masonry, that type of material. So he rebuilt his simple frame two-story building, which was very simple, and it was actually rebuilt as a three-story, very large department store. When he sold his building, he sold it to Rose Brothers, which, again, were two brothers. When one of the Rose Brothers passed away and the other one had other ventures that he wanted to pursue, they sold their business to actually C.E. Blodgett. C.E. Blodgett purchased that for his two son-in-laws, Mr. McCain and Mr. Johnson, as probably a way to make sure that his daughters were taken care of. Mr. Johnson remained with the business for a while, decided later on he wanted to get into the insurance business, sold his shares to Mr. McCain, and Mr. McCain continued business. One of the unique things about the McCain business is that it was the only place in Marshfield that had a milk bar. A milk bar was an initiative by the governor of the state of Wisconsin during the late 50s, early 1960s, when root beer stands and drive-ins were all the rage. People were going down from, you know, a soda or root beer or whatever, and the governor said, hey, wait a minute, we need to do something as far as promoting dairy. And so he decided to do the dairy bar thing and have businesses around Wisconsin incorporate that. McCain's was our dairy bar for Marshfield, and they advertised seven different flavors of milk.
Interesting.
When McCain decided to get rid of his business when he was retiring, Paul Schreiner Enterprises purchased the building, and going back just a little bit, the whole front facade was changed when McCain's and Johnson's had it. From what I understand, a portion of that original facade is still underneath, but it's completely covered up, and I don't think it's restorable. When Paul Schreiner bought it, again, it went through another facade change, and that's the current change that you see today when you look at the building, and DiRico's Black Belt School is in that. So that's kind of the full circle from when a business started in the late 1870s until the current day, and that's kind of what we want to do with each of the sites downtown.
So if people do not have a smartphone, and of course many do, but some don't, how can they access some of this information?
Well, I've been finding out that a lot of people do not have smartphones, and so one of the things that the Historic Preservation Committee from the city wanted to know, as they were the ones that backed my generator program so I could make the codes, one of their questions was exactly that. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can go directly to the website, which is www.marshfieldgenealogy.com. And then on that front page, there is a tab in the upper right-hand corner that says QR Codes of Historical Marshfield. Click on that, and you'll come to the page for the QR codes. It is divided several different ways. You can go by alphabet. There's groups of the alphabet like A to F, G to L, and you can click on, if you know the business, you can go to that section. There is also a tab that you can just view the names of all of the stories. And then one of the other features that I'm currently working on right now is reconstructing a plat map based on that 1885 plat that I had and adding all the additional businesses with live links. So you can look at the map, see the listing of the build or the businesses that were in that one location and click on which one you want to view. And then that story will come up complete with pictures, possible ads that were found in the newspaper at that time, newspaper stories. The Marshfield Times, which was one of the four newspapers back in the late 1880s, early 1890s, and so on, was notorious for running what was called an industrial section. And they went from business to business and wrote like a 3 to 5, 6 inch column in their paper about each business. The information that they gave sometimes is invaluable. They would interview the owner or the person who was in charge of the business, find out how long the business had been there, possibly where the owner came from. They would list all the different types of services and the things that they would have for sale in that business or what they did. And it's an invaluable tool. I have found stories from 1894, 1902, 1904, 1908, 1916, all had those, and there may be other ones, I just haven't found them yet, but those newspapers in particular had those industrial sections in them that had a lot of information. So transcribing that information to the website, especially if we don't have anything else about them, gives you some information.
Wonderful. And finally, if people would like to, they can just stop by the library. Apparently, you're going to have some information on display there also.
I am putting all of the stories into binders. I have one binder ready. It's not at the library this minute. But probably within the next couple weeks, the first binder will be available, and then as time goes on, I will be continuing to add stories. Right now, there are about 30 current businesses from those first three blocks on board with the project. I have linked probably at least another 45 stories of past businesses to those, and like I said, I have probably another 300 stories that I'm working on to fill in a lot of those gaps and some of the other places from Marshfield.
Anything else you'd like to add? I would imagine you'd encourage people to visit downtown Marshfield and actually take advantage of some of this.
Anytime that you're in the downtown business area, and like I said, the codes on the windows right now are going to be within those first three blocks. As you're walking in the evenings, take your smartphone along, scan them. If you're downtown for parades or any of the doings that go on, business after five or any of those events that are downtown, take your smartphone, scan in a story. If you don't have that smartphone, go to your computer and go to the website, MarshfieldGenealogy.com, and pull the stories up. They change probably weekly. I add more stories. So if there isn't a story there yet, come back, look again. And I strongly, strongly urge anybody who has pictures or information of past businesses to contact me. I'm more than happy to continue to share the information that people give me and include it on the website about specific businesses. And you can reach me at my email, and that's schnitz1@charter.net.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for talking with us today. I'm sure our listeners are going to find this very interesting. Thank you.